Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for joining the podcast Behavioral Blueprint. My name is Solana, and we are going to get straight into it. This podcast name for today and the title is really going to go over the five statements that you are needing to keep for self-navigation for yourself. I personally really deeply resonate with that right now. I've been through a whole form of different journeys in the past 2 weeks that have kind of steered me off of my self-navigation route and off of my self-navigation journey. I did a whole bunch of things and constructed this list and all of these five different quotes that you will see me and hear me use that honestly changed how I look at others and also how I look at self-preservation for myself. So the first is going to be the cutoff season. The cutoff season is requiring you to shed layers, people's habits, even relationships with yourself and others. And going into detail would mean, of course, removing said people and removing said behaviors and actions that further prohibit you from any type of growth that you know is hindering you from being a better person. Recalling the past and not being able to repeat the past has to be a habit that needs to be permanent for yourself. You have to understand that creating a form that isn't self-inflicting behavior, a form of love that isn't self-inflicting behavior, is a form of consideration of yourself. When you go into any type of room and you are letting people push you past and not respect who you are and stepping on your grounds, you aren't considering yourself or being able to consider yourself if you let other people diminish who you are and let them diminish who you are. I know I'm a person that has let my niceness always be taken for granted because people are greedy. People can take from nice people solely because they feel like they want to. Not saying that everybody is like that, but there are people that will continue to take from you and feel no remorse or shame because they simply are takers as people. They never were givers the way that I am personally a giver, or any of my people that I care about or know are givers. I also do want to go into not repeating those said relationships and recalling the past, meaning that you have to really go into understanding that the things that you do as said behavior, if something happens to you and you go into a circle or a form of behavior that isn't making you better and it's a limited belief, you have to check that before life will be handed to you and show you that you need to deal with that said thing that you are steering away from. Heavy on the not repeating, because the more that you repeat these behaviors, the more that it does become who you are. And then you're left there at 60 years old questioning why you had to feel this way and you have to go this way and you wonder where your life is going to be. Now, for me, I'm a very dramatic person. It doesn't have to be 50. It doesn't have to be 24. It doesn't have to be 16, 19. It doesn't have to be any of these ages, but it will be a moment where you feel like you're out of control when you question why you're repeating these toxic behaviors. These things can come from you, or they can come from your past. They can come from your bloodline, and you could be the breaker. That's how you have to figure out your self-identity, and you can't let these people, again, shedding layers that remind you who your past version was, continue to let you step into your past behaviors, into the new version that you're becoming. Creating replacements that pour into your cup and create nourishment and hydration for yourself will be, of course, the best thing that you can do when it comes down to cutting things off. That means that you can re-nourish the thing that you took off or that you made basically a removal from. People will create forms of healing. People will create forms of self-affirmation. People will create forms of meditation. People will create forms of self-love, like I said. But how can these things create permanence? That's my question to you. And then also, of course, the question to the podcast. These things can create permanence if you know that you simply, people will say a line, I will say that for now, but you know that it can come as easy to you as is breathing. People will state that these things are hobbies or things that you connect with and that you like. And those can be those said things, but they have to be incorporated positively and not unhealthily, because of the fact that if you abuse that said thing that is nourishing you, it will create a negative form of you depending on that thing. Meaning that if you abuse the said thing that is helping you become a better person and removing yourself from the people or the behaviors or the beliefs, by the way, then where are we going? Because we're actually going backwards, baby. Like, you're not creating progress if you're still using the same past habits that further hinder you from progression of change. And last but not least, not always romanticizing the loneliness. I am a person myself that loves to, how do I word this? I love to be by myself. And that one comes from, of course, trauma, but then that too also comes from me feeling like I don't have to observe or look at other people's energy and feel like I have to fake who I am, you know? And that is a trauma response, and that is something that I'm working on. But I also have to see that being by myself isn't always productive to the dreams that I want to take. I'm known and born to be a collaborator. I love being an artist. I love creating things. I love being myself. And I also love being with people as well. I'm honestly a people person. So when I create spaces of loneliness and when I create spaces of making things dry for myself, making the soil dry, making the places dry, it doesn't help, because then I get stuck into the cycle of doom scrolling and bed rotting and not becoming the best version and missing out on these said opportunities that could change my life. Now, I am going from point A to point Z when I go to that, when I say change my life, but I do want to make it clear that each time that you aren't able to choose yourself, it is making a routine that it should be expected of you every time you go into a moment of needing to self-isolate or needing to be in a space of needing to be alone. You use it as a response, when in reality, you can't use that always as a response, when you need to reach out to people so you can feel less alone. I have people that I reach out to that simply do care about me, but I would rather reach out to them knowing that they can be a safe space for me. And that's another thing. If you feel like you cannot go out to people, you need to change the people that you are in the room with. You need to change the people that you even speak to and say that you respect. If you don't have one person in your life that you can sit here and quote and say that they are your safe space, you really need to look into what is going on in your environment. And it's okay to admit that, because every person is able to change from those environments. But if it's not, again, progressing who you are, why are you still there? So the next chapter is going to be self-consideration is your superpower. You are a person of energy. You are a person that can harness and take and give and transmute and become so many different things of energy. I am a person that believes in that. So I am affirming that to you and letting you know that you are in control of your reality. So the first thing I do want to go over is considering and including what and who you are independently. That goes into not romanticizing the loneliness from the last chapter. Because when you create and you know who you are independently, you know that you can go into spaces where you can reach out to other people, like I was saying, as your safe spaces. But then you also know yourself enough to know that people cannot shift you. People cannot put you in a place and put you in a box because they said so. Growing up for me, a lot of people put me in a box and put me in a space because I did not know myself and I wanted to rely on others simply because I felt like it was more comfortable to give myself to others than for me to be myself. That also comes from people taking from me. And when people take energy from me, I used to think that that was okay. I used to think that people taking things from me without my consent was okay. And of course, I realized that now, I realized that when I really like look within myself and when I do self-work, but I also go into understanding that when I go into seeing what I am, that means I have to go into the mirror. I have to do exercises. Who am I? What do I like? What's my dream car? Where is my favorite library? It's not about who's my favorite person, what's my favorite color, because those are, of course, basic identity things that you can go into. But if it's that deep, then you go that deep. But for me, I did not know that I wanted to have my dream car until 3 to 4 weeks ago. The reason why was simply because of the fact that I was prioritizing relationships. I was prioritizing what other people wanted for a job and what they told me I should do as a job. I was prioritizing what my parents thought. And let me tell you, that is one of the most normal ways of toxicity and staying in the same place. What your parents believe, and then they create an action of making you believe it because you are in their vicinity. So sorry. Yeah. Parents will project their beliefs onto you because they thought that they had the right to control you because they birthed you. They made the decision to sleep with each other and hump and moan and groan and ejaculate and do that whole little thing because they simply decided to, regardless if it was selfish or not. Sorry about that, y'all. I had to look into what I was doing. But I was really going on a tangent about how selfish parents can really be when it comes down to making decisions for who you are when you aren't able or stable enough to know who you are yet because they haven't given you the chance to be. If you're going through this, I am so sorry. I am here for you and I feel for you, and you are going to get past this. You are a person of your own mind. You have your own soul. You have your own feelings. You have your own thoughts, and you are a better person than you think you are because of where you are now. Especially if you're in the space of realization, you will be a different person a year from now. You will be a different person tomorrow. But I respect you for dealing with what you're dealing with, and you will be in a different space soon. I also do want to go into making it clear that committing and knowing and educating yourself with you, meaning knowing who you are, again, knowing what you have to deal with and what is in your environment. The better you can identify what is around you and how you are and how you respond to it, the better you can shift everything in your life. But you do have to create permanence with the said change if you know you have to be a different person. If that means that you have to break up with that boy, girl, they, them, that means that you have to simply remove yourself. If you do not know who you are and you are in a relationship, I have bad news for you. I have terrible news for you, actually. But also, of course, there are exceptions. People don't know who they are, but they're in relationships. And they can grow and get to know themselves in those said relationships. So I'm not speaking for all. But I do also know that educating yourself with knowing the details of who you are. And it's not also about like the surface level, like I was saying, my favorite car. It's also about how you behave when you're angry. How do you behave when you are in a moment of lostness and you don't know what to do? How do you help yourself when you're grieving? How do you help yourself when you fall back on the wagon? How do you help yourself when you have to go into doing something that you did not expect to do? Educating yourself, of course, through those unspoken experiences that other people have put you through or that you've put yourself through. But you also do have to know that sometimes these things are self-inflicted. Sometimes you have to know, like, you have to see that what you are doing is also causing an effect on your life. Because as much as you can decide to put blame on somebody else, you have as much blame to put on yourself as well. It is equally yoked, because the decisions that you make are also going to not only affect others, but affect your future. Being kinder to yourself is my third segment that I have for this chapter, because I don't think people really take into understanding how much being kinder to yourself creates better respect for yourself. I was cooking earlier today and I spilled a little bit of sweet tea when I was making my plate. And I was like, darn, I wasn't reactive the way that I was honestly raised growing up, where if I did something, dropped something, made a noise, breathed, or even cooked, I was being questioned. And it created a space for me where I did not want to leave, aka the loneliness and the hyper-independence, and also those things that made me feel shame. I didn't want to leave my room, because every time I leave my room, I'm being asked questions, I'm being ridiculed. So when I spilled that tea earlier today, I was like, darn. And I moved the cup and I moved the plate and I picked it up with a normal napkin, and I went on with my day and I ate my food and it was really good. Using that as an example, because I used to be literally ridiculed as a form of being questioned. I was truly, truly, truly shamed for doing anything. And it caused me to have a response to close up. And I wasn't kind to myself. If I made a mistake, I had a whole mindset of my brain thinking of the worst because of those said things that were instilled into me growing up. And identifying that had me understanding why I had to do those things. And my responses, like I was saying, into educating yourself on how you respond to things. If you know that you respond negatively, why do you think that is? Where do you think that comes from? Because it's not always from you. You keep and you take other people's things because you simply trust it enough to say that it should be a part of your life. Think about that. You take other people's energy and you take other people's opinions and you take other people's minds or mindsets because you trust that it can take upon your life. And if you respect that opinion enough, and you don't even think that it's negative or positive, because you solely think because of the respect that you have to respect it and you have to take it in, oh baby. And again, yes, these things are sometimes even subconscious, so you don't even know if they're negative or positive. But at the end of the day, you do have to understand that your actions take place for the betterment of yourself. So if they are choices that you know that are automatic, but you never see the consequences until after, you have to question that. And you have to see that it's not going to be the thing that is going to further let you be a person of growth. It's not going to let you be the thing that lets you be that dream person. Now, it's not always overnight, but things do take discipline and discernment and understanding. Chapter 3, Do It On My Own Season, baby. Yes, this is so good. This is my favorite one of the whole episode. So my first thing that I have is creating actions behind the dream version of who you are. Was I not just talking about how these negative attachments of behavior that you most likely have taken from other people cannot be a permanent thing in your life because it's not making you better? So that means that on the other hand, you create the new life with these said habits, with the actions of who you are to create the dream self. All of these things are just words when I come down to saying dream self, by the way, because dream self is just future you. It's the same or the better version of who you are that is telling you, hey, I can make this. Anything that I have in my mind, I can actually become it. It is something that is in my mind. I can write it down on a piece of paper. I can pray over it. I can do whatever. But deep down, the only thing that can manifest what you are doing let me rephrase, not the only thing, because of course, law of attraction, but one of the most representative ways that can make you see that you are becoming the person that you want to be is action. Mind you, creating action will see and show effect if you are doing positive action for the betterment of yourself, meaning that the dream self is doing this said thing. Because once those two things begin to merge and you see the fruits of your labors begin to pay off, you'll understand that creating discernment and creating discipline is truly love for yourself and consideration for yourself. This is also a question to you that I will answer, and of course anybody can answer. Put your answers in the chat for me so I can see what you think. But what is something that you can harness by yourself that you use others for? Now, this can be energy, this can be physical, and this can also be emotional. What certain attributes of other people makes you think that you can't be the said thing because that other person has it, right? And not even knowing that you can literally withstand it yourself and have it of your own. I have this podcaster that I really like. She's amazing. Her name is Janelle Roberts. Everybody go look at her podcast. Her name is, Janelle Roberts, but the podcast name is To All the People Podcast. She's a Dallas girl. I love her so much. She, I don't want to say she has my quote unquote dream life. She has a lot of the things I do like when it comes down to like future things that I have. But I do know that something that she really went into when I listened to her podcast earlier today was knowing how to respect the things that don't need you anymore and that don't have to have you the same way that you need to have it. That's just my takeaway from it. But when I thought about that, I was like, wow, that's so true. Because we take from people, or we go into letting people's energy be so important when we don't even realize that we can harness that energy ourselves and even make it stronger or more amplified. We don't look at how important we are as people because we just don't. We just don't see what is so important to these said things that we love and care about. It takes a lot out of me to not know, but I also want to make it clear that not knowing how to harness your energy is also a form of curiosity that you can make for yourself. I'm going to get back to you on that to see what I did for the next week's podcast. So, recognize that and begin to trust and honor yourself to rely on self. So, you have to see yourself as a valuable piece of work. And that you are not a self-improvement project, and that you are not only this thing that has to consistently progress. If you are in the moment of knowing that you might have to take a pause and trusting yourself and seeing where you are and evaluating all the puzzles of the puzzle piece of who you are, that is most likely what it takes. Because there is always beauty in the stillness as well. We'll get into that too, because that is also something I don't think people appreciate either. Recognizing and also beginning to trust yourself is one of the most important things that I see when it comes down to self-consideration thing that I keep reiterating. Trust, 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 trust. Do you trust yourself? Do you love yourself? And those are not lighthearted questions that you can always answer easily. There are days where I do not love myself. There are days where I do not care about where I'm going, because those are just those days. And that's also what you do have to carry too. Certain days are going to just be the hardest days of your life. And certain days are going to be some of the easiest and most blissful and most euphoric days of your life. There is polarity with that. But it doesn't always have to mean that it will create permanence. If you trust in the fact that tomorrow is going to be a bad day, then that tomorrow will be a bad day, because you will find things that will make you mad or make you not feel like you are enough. But if you set tomorrow as a positive day and set tomorrow as the best day of your life, it will be the best day of your life, because you don't look in that perspective. A lot of people look into the limited belief because they know it's the most, how do I explain this? The limited belief is what they know. They know every aspect of the limited belief and none of the unknown belief. Not even understanding that the unknown belief takes them to the said thing that they want to be. You have to trust yourself enough to know that the unknown belief is going to take you there. It doesn't mean that it has to go straight to the negative because you only see the limited. In the limited belief, you see the negative. And in the unknown belief, you see the unknown. So how do you know if it's going to be negative? And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be positive because you're removing yourself from the energy of the limited. Kind of hate that. Letting go and becoming indifferent is the best part of becoming. Chapter 4. As you decide the version of who you want to become, what are actions that include you that accept that version of who you are? That's a question, of course, so take your time to answer. But what version of you is accepting who you are now and loving who you are now? Is that future version of you doing that? Is that past version of you doing that? Because I can assure you that that past version is thinking that this future version, or I'm sorry, the present version, doesn't even know. Now, for me, when I was 14, because 14 was a big age for me, 13 was a big age for me, I would have loved myself now because I'm able to speak up about said things that I never thought I could. Never, ever, 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 ever. But I also know that there is not things that I'm proud of that I'm doing today that I know my 24-year-old self would be like, okay, I'm looking back at that. I'm glad I removed that said thing. I'm glad I'm not friends with that person anymore. I'm glad I'm not doing that. But then also my 24-year-old self able to come and talk to me and be able to hug me and aid me and affirm me and know and let me know that it's all going to be okay. And letting my feelings know now that they belong. Because this is the transitioning season. This is the transitioning process. Not all of the immediate gratification has to come now for you. That's another thing that people have to understand. We are in a time where we are seeing people get instant gratification because we are only seeing their wins. We are only seeing people's achievements because those are the highlight reels. Those are the things that look pretty. Those are the things that make people look like they have all the things going together when they're only posting 2 times a month of their wins. Nothing wrong with their said wins if they're posting twice a month, but if you're only posting those two things, I'm going to think that that's your whole life if I'm just perceiving you through online. And that's just a normal assumption because people will just assume that people's lives are straight because they got the high rise and they got the Hellcat and they got the living in Miami or living in Atlanta type of vibe, and they got everything together because they are said example. No hate to these people, by the way, because these people are true examples of what can happen. But do you think that that is really realistic? Especially when people do want to be this odd sort out and they want to stand out and create traction for themselves to further show that they are different. They want that said attention because they know how rare they are. So when you question yourself and making yourself have to be compared to them, why? Why do you do that? When you know you're not even in the same feet or in the same souls as them. You don't even know if these people are wanting to be you the whole entire time that you're wanting to be them. You're at a place right now where you're questioning, I wish I'm out of this situation. I wish I could be out of this situation. I wish I could remove myself from this situation. I wish I wasn't in this. I wish I wasn't in that. Not even knowing. You got the heart of gold. You got the soul of integrity. You got the mouth of a piece. You got the brain that isn't going to let people walk all over you. You have all these special qualities about yourself, but wanted to change and compare yourself to said people that don't even know who they are or want to be other things because they have reached all the things that they thought they could need. And now they're lost because they don't know where to go. Putting people on pedestals and creating separation between you and the said person will not create betterment for yourself. It will only put you in a deeper hole, making you think that you're lower than them, when in reality, you both are said people. You both are actual people. And the only difference between you and that other person is a lease agreement and a finance car that most likely will get repoed in 3 months because they haven't paid for the car note with the BMW. I'm just being real. These people are doing loopholes and they're making themselves be seen as better when in reality their heart and their souls are not into anything that's going to be self-progression of who they are. They do not know who they are. I'm just saying. How do you embrace, this is the second question, how do you embrace the other version and create boundaries with knowing that that version cannot exist with you anymore? That past version of you that has to react in such a reactive way, or that past version of you that isn't able to process what you are dealing with now, can't be with you anymore. Especially if it's hindering you from responding with things that you know can make you a better person. If you have a flight or fight mode and you don't know how to respond, but let's make it clear because there's a third one. If you have a flight freeze, is it flight or fight? Yeah. If you have a flight freeze or fight response to all of these things, because there are of course choices to these things, you have to look at if this thing is making you going to, is it going to make you connect to the thing that's the better version of you? That's the future version of you. Is it going to be the thing that will help you make those business decisions? Will it be the thing that helps you make the emotional reactions when something happens or when somebody does you a certain way? Because if you react immaturely because that 15, 16 version of you didn't like the way that Bradley treated you in high school, you're going to ruin business partnerships. And I'm speaking to the future version of you, especially the entrepreneurs, especially the people that want to make their own brand and identity and version of themselves. How do you know that that person and who that person is can't always exist? Now, there are times where that past version does have to come up and make healthy decisions, but is that person even making decisions that are healthy? That's what you have to recalibrate with yourself. Or how much are you keeping that is from other people, like I stated before, or that is past versions of you that are negatively holding you back? And then I have a quote here. This is one of my favorite quotes right now. This person said, "Do not let the people affirm you. I'm sorry. Do not let people affirm who you are when they do not know where you are going." And I want you to carry that for a little bit, because my brain exploded when I heard that, because not every person is meant for every season of your life. That cutoff season that I was just bringing up is cutoff season. It's the top of the year. It's getting real cold, so you got to act a little chilly. You got to act like you, the weather, because you can't let these people be your sun, especially when you're not even taking care of yourself and committing and concerning. And also, let's use the last T if I'm just getting on top of it, considering yourself, if I didn't say that already. You have to create self-respect. You have to create separation with your past self and with who you are now. Last but not least, this is the last chapter before I go. Boredom is solitude. Boredom is solitude, y'all. Where is your peace located? Where is your safe space? Where can you be these said things that are the future versions of you? Now, that also might have to have you create a space. And that is a good thing, because when you create a space, especially when you know you need to have one, you can always resort to that space. You can always go to that space, but you also have to know that you can't abuse that safe space. You can't just go to that safe space and just treat it as if it's just another thing for you. You have to respect that said space the same way the better version of you would. You can't resort back to the said things of your past, because it will make it not the same place that you want to ascend to, if that makes sense. Especially if this place is a safe space for you that can make you be authentically who you are, Why does this past version of you that's negatively hindering you need to be there? There are many different versions of who you are, and you're allowing the thing that isn't going to be your future be a part of the space that is. Think about that. Is that respectful? Is that respectful to who you are and what you are going to be? No. Now, I want you to let go of all these things that are, of course, holding you back. And you can go into that safe space and let go of those things, but you can't go into that intentionally thinking that it's going to change you if you do these said past behaviors that aren't betterment for you. Silence is the answer. So, silence can be forms of meditation. Silence can be forms of not talking. Silence can be forms of even going to spaces of peace, just not talking. For me right now, I'm really not wanting to talk to people. I always, of course, reach out to my friends, but especially when I'm annoyed, I'd rather try to revert my silence. I would rather revert to silence because I have to question what's going on inside of me. Now, do not get that twisted with the self-isolation, because the difference between self-isolation is that I am completely removing myself and not being available for people. When I am in a moment of silence, I choose when I'm silent. I choose when I have to do this. I choose when I have to be able to revert myself, because I know that this makes me better, because I have to process differently. I'm a person that has to process and take a couple days, because I know that if I simply just respond straight to your face, I'm going to hurt your feelings, especially if we're in a moment where we have to go tit for tat. And I don't want to do that. So I have to revert back to my space and go into moments of realization, because my moments of silence create connection and understanding for myself and also the whole entire relationship with everything. Now for you, silence can be different types of form of creating the safe space. So you can just use both, or the safe space option or the silence option. You are not an ongoing project. You are not a self-improvement project. You are a person. And I wanted to use this moment as a moment of closing because of the fact, or the last moment, let me rephrase it. I wanted to use this as the last part of my chapter on chapter 5 and the last segment, because after everything that I have just said, I have given you front to back examples of what is seen as a self-improvement project, when in reality, you are a person listening to me in your room, in your car, walking, or even doing even moments of cleaning. And I hope you're cleaning. Be clean. But I want to make it clear that you are a person with feelings. You are a person that has layers, like onions, like Shrek. You are a person with a past. You are a person with traumas. You are a person that has these things. The future version of you has these things as well. But the difference between who you are today and who you are tomorrow and who you will be in the future is that your future version of you doesn't carry those things as a need or as a moment or as a way of survival. You have to remove yourself from the survival mentality and going into a space where you are creating with these special things that are of you. The traumas of who you are seeds. Now, trauma is a very sensitive subject because different people have different complex traumas. And not everyone can transmute all of these things in one day. It takes years. It takes decades for people. It takes even bigger than even centuries for people, especially societies, for people to understand where they are, especially with trauma. With your trauma, you are not the trauma. You experienced trauma. You are not the identity of your trauma because you experienced it. You are not your trauma. You are a person that has surpassed and survived your trauma. You are a survivor. And I want to say that I am so proud of you. Last but not least, I do want to say that with everything of what you are, you have to take it in day by day. But you have to make it as honest as possible to yourself to know where you are. And also the things that you have to let go. You have to cut things off. You have to consider yourself. You have to understand that where you are right now isn't the moment of permanence. You have to do it on your own. And you have to let go, especially when it makes you a better person. But when you let go, you have to know that that silent room and that boredom is going to be the thing that's going to change you. That's going to be the thing that creates new answers for you. It helps you understand more about yourself. More about yourself. Because who you are is the complex person that I was just describing. But that thing makes you special because you are the difference. You are the change in your life. And if you know that you are the difference, you should respect yourself enough to know that your future version of you is using that as a superpower and is using that as the form of love and how they give love to others and how they become a better person, is using those said things that people usually create shame with as a form of liberation. And you are loved. So now that you know that you are loved, you can't look at your life the same anymore. Especially when your future version of you is using all of the things that you say that you hate about yourself as moments of love to others. I want to thank everybody for listening to my podcast. Please go follow me on my social medias. It's going to be Solana Files everywhere _. Think of me and think of yourself today. Think of your next week and how you're going to be better for yourself. Think of how you're going to look out for others, but make it clear that you are in your own lane and that people cannot shift you. Remind yourself and make it an affirmation to yourself that I cannot be shifted by other people's actions. But again, y'all, I love y'all. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. If you are listening, please give my podcast a 5-star rating. I love you. I love you. I love you. And thank you again for joining the Behavioral Blueprint.